All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We'll continue our NFL conversation. Brian Baldinger, longtime NFL player, NFL Network. Brian, how you doing? Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Adam. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right before the break, I was talking about the Carlos Hyde trade, and I thought it was really interesting. I love it for the Browns because it allows their more explosive backs, Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson, to play more. And even though it's a fifth-round pick, which is not huge but still valuable, I was a little surprised the Jaguars when they – I know Fournette's been in and out, but they said he's coming back in 2 weeks, but maybe you can't trust that. T.J. Yeldon's been pretty good. I mean, he's averaged 4.5 yards a carry, certainly a lot better than Carlos Hyde. What do you make of this deal?
Well, you said it right at the very beginning. Allows Cleveland to play their explosive backs, and that's what Carlos Hyde isn't.
Yeah.
You know, he's caught 115 passes in 5 years as a 49er and as a Brown, and he's never had one catch go for 20 yards. And
wow.
He's averaging 3.4 yards a carry this year, and he just looks pedestrian. And so I think Cleveland is looking. I thought Nick Chubb was a better choice in preseason, but, you know, Carlos Hyde is a safe. He's a safe player. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's a tough guy. He's a good teammate. But, you know, if you're looking at Jacksonville right now, I mean, I don't know that you can count on Fournette. I mean, he's got 90 total yards of offense in 6 weeks.
Right.
He just hasn't been able to get on the field. They lost Corey Grant, the backup to T.J. Yeldon. And so they're hurting at that position. And the quarterback is suffering because they're hurting at that position.
Speaking of running back situations where one guy is taking carries from a more explosive back, why does Detroit continue to give so many carries to LeGarrette Blount when Kerryon Johnson, I mean, he looks fantastic, but yet they, you know, Blount, who's I think he's last in the NFL in yards per carry, still gets a decent amount of carries.
Well, I'm with you, and I think it's going to change tomorrow in Miami. I think Kerryon Johnson, he's 5'8", 190 pounds. I don't know that, you know, he's built to take the pounding, but from what I've seen so far, he's obviously far, far more explosive. But I think they need to start with Kerryon Johnson, and if they get a lead, like they did against Green Bay, that's when LeGarrette Blount can be the most effective. When you start to wear a team down, you get the lead, and you want to try and take a little bit of the air out of the ball, I think that's LeGarrette Blount's time. So I think it will change for Kerryon Johnson. I think he's going to start to see more carries.
We're talking with longtime NFL player Brian Baldinger. Brian, when you look at all these young quarterbacks and the number, I mean, the numbers the quarterbacks are putting up are insane. Like we have like as many guys on pace for 5,000 yards as guys have ever thrown for 5,000 yards. It's crazy. Are we going to have to start? When we start evaluating quarterbacks, and especially Hall of Fame, are we going to have to look at the numbers differently because they've exploded so much?
Well, we've been doing that, Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you know, if you look at, you know, Lynn Swann, you know, and Stallworth there in Pittsburgh. I mean, Lynn Swann averaged 37 catches a year in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to adjust. 5,000 yards right now is going to be the old 4,000 yards. I mean, it's just the way the rules are. The way the game is played. So we're going to have to make adjustments, you know, to all of how we look at Hall of Fame voting, especially at positions where statistics are so, you know, heavily, you know, scrutinized.
Brian, when you look at so far this year, you see the defensive players constantly complaining about the rule changes. And I get it's been made tougher on them, but at this point, what is the point in the continued complaints? Don't these guys have to just adjust and move on?
Yeah, they do. And I think they are. I mean, I see a lot more guys when they get to the quarterback right now, instead of drilling him into the ground, which, you know, would send a real message to the offense, it's the quarterback. I see guys kind of pulling him and pulling him down to the ground with them and rolling him on top of them. I see changes being made.
Yeah,
and we all know that. I think the rule is, here's what I think. All these officials, referees, and umpires behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, I just think they just need to use common sense with this
sure.
rule. And if it's flagrant, we all know what flagrant looks like. If it's excessive and flagrant, then flag it. And if it's, Clay Matthews taking Alex Smith to the ground with what looked like to be a completely legal hit, Kirk Cousins, then, let him play. I mean, quarterbacks want to be, they don't want to wear a red jersey back there and pretend like they can't be hit. So I just think they got to use more common sense when they flag it.
Brian, when you look at the rookie quarterback so far this season, it's so funny. Every year these coaches say, we're going to sit them, except for Darnold. And now, of course, all the rookies are playing, except for Lamar Jackson. But the other four are all playing, although Josh Allen got hurt. How would you evaluate how they've performed, all the four rookies so far this year?
Well, I think the top two, I think Baker and Sam Darnold have played well. Sam Darnold last had his best game, and it's like a Jeremy Bates, the offensive coordinator with the Jets, it looked like he took the training wheels off. And I thought Jeremy's done a really good job with Sam. I mean, fans were complaining that he wasn't throwing the ball down the field. They really protected him the first 5 weeks. They ran the ball for 23 yards against Denver in week five. I mean, all those things helped. And then last week against the Colts, Sam Darnold played really well. He made a lot of big-time throws. And for Baker, he's been making those throws. He's got an uncanny ability to be accurate with the deep ball. His receivers just have to start catching the ball. I don't know how many drops they had against the Chargers last week, but I counted no less than five. I counted six against the Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, they just have to start catching it, and I think you'll see Cleveland score more, and I think you'll see better numbers from Baker.
When we mentioned the Browns trade there, the Carlos Hyde, 10 days till the trade deadline. Seems like in recent years we're trending towards a little more trading in football than we have in years past. If you're the Colts at 1-5, the Raiders at 1-5, the Cardinals, the Giants, the 49ers, are you looking to be aggressive here to try to make moves for the future?
Well, you got to be careful with that, Adam. I mean, you can't just send a message to your whole organization that you've given up on the season. I mean, I know 1-5 for the Giants and Cardinals and 49ers, all these teams that are struggling. You can't just throw in the towel right now. There's too many games that you still have to evaluate these players. And if you unload good players because you're giving up on the season, it's just a really bad message. But I saw the Patriots cleared a bunch of cap space. So I'm sure teams are positioning themselves to see if they can, if they can unlock one of these players from a team right now that are struggling.
We know all the accolades have been thrown on the Rams, the Chiefs, the Patriots to some degree. But what is the thing that could hold the Rams? Let's start with the Rams. What could hold the Rams back in a big spot in the playoff time?
Well, I mean, Jared Goff last week against Denver. I mean, I know what Todd Gurley did. He ran for 208 yards, three touchdowns. But Jared Goff went for 200 yards. Denver was willing to give up a lot of big runs to not let the ball go down the field. And then it looked like it frustrated Jared Goff. And, he didn't throw the ball real well. He missed a lot of throws. And at the end of the day, the Rams scored 23 points for a team that's used to scoring in the 30s. So,
right.
And then defensively, they have not been great. They haven't been good against the run. And, without some of their defensive backs right now, I mean, they're giving up a lot of yards. So defensively, they don't look like a championship team right now.
How about same for Kansas City? Is it all about the defense that's the concern there?
Well, I mean, if you just read Tom Brady's quotes after that comeback win against the Chiefs on Sunday night,
he
said he was hoping that Patrick Mahomes would score and the Chiefs would score so he'd get the ball last. And so Tom Brady's basically saying, look, I don't really trust my defense, but I know I trust myself. And that's really the case right now in Kansas City is I don't know that you could trust that defense, to give up 43 points like that. And, that's really the challenge for Kansas City.
We're talking with longtime NFL player Brian Baldinger. Brian, when you look at Vontaze Burfict, again, controversy with the Steelers. He was not suspended this week. I know future Hall of Famer Joe Thomas said this week that he thought Vontaze Burfict should be suspended for the season. I'm a Bengals fan, and I'm sick of his antics personally. But what's your take on Vontaze and the Bengals?
Well, it doesn't seem like he is going to learn from his mistakes.
Right.
I mean, it looks like a clear cheat shot to Antonio Brown. It's hard to sometimes see judgment or lack of judgment, you know, but it looked like a cheap shot across the middle, unnecessary. The way the game used to be played just can't be played anymore. You can't take those shots in the middle of the field against anybody. And a lot of other players have adjusted the way that they play the game, and it looks like Vontaze is having a hard time adjusting to the new way the game is played. And if it happens one more time this year, I mean, this looks like a pass for whatever reason for the NFL.
Yeah.
But if it does happen one more time, they may have to do nothing more than throw them out of the league because the league just isn't going to allow players to play like that anymore.
That's simple. The Bills players, there were, you know, rumors, who knows what's true, but there were rumors that if Nathan Peterman started again for the Bills, there was going to be a mutiny there. So they signed longtime veteran Derek Anderson, who I think has started 4 games in the last 7 years, maybe. And he's starting after just signing. What's that? I mean, can you imagine that it got that bad? I know Nathan Peterman's been terrible, but he hasn't played that much. What do you make of that situation?
Well, it makes you scratch your head why he's on the roster, Nathan Peterman. I mean, if they feel more confident about a player that hasn't had any training camp and hasn't played at all this year, and you pick him up at the bus stop on Tuesday and he's your starting quarterback, I've played on a team that did that. I mean, you're playing with one hand tied behind your back, but if they think that's the best opportunity to win a game, you've got to question why Nathan Peterman is on the roster if the players don't believe in him and the coaches don't believe in him.
Yeah, it's a good point. The Raiders, we mentioned before, 1-5 after a miserable start. They trade Khalil Mack before the season. There's rumors about Cooper, Carr. Hasn't gone well so far for John Gruden. Is this a sign of things to come for his tenure, or do you think he will turn it around eventually for the Raiders?
Well, you always have got to let the coaches get the players that they want, and it looks like it's a complete culture change. But I would say this. They have to figure out a way to fix Derek Carr because he's broken right now. And 2 years ago, you would never think that Derek Carr would look like he did in London against Seattle last week. You would never think that.
Yep.
This kid had swagger. He attacked you. He had belief in the way that he threw the ball. And right now, he doesn't have any of that. Now, the offensive line was horrible last week. That can dismantle any quarterback. But before John Gruden basically, you know, cleans the locker room up, for lack of a better term, to really get his type of players that he thinks he can win with, he better take a long, hard look at Derek Carr and see what he can do with them, because I think Derek Carr could be a good player, a really good player, but he isn't right now. But that is a mission that they have to figure out in the next 10 weeks.
Baldy, last thing, the NFL seems as unpredictable as ever. It seems like every week there's a good example, but like last week, everything pointed to the Bears just crushing the Dolphins, and the Dolphins scored 31 points against them.
I know.
How do you explain the NFL right now? It's like every week you never know. It's impossible to predict games.
Well, it's a great point, Adam, and you're absolutely true. You're absolutely correct. It is a week-to-week league.
Yeah.
And if you don't bring your A game, you can get, you know, the Buffalo Bills went to Minnesota. They have no business beating Minnesota, but they didn't just beat them. They beat them up, you know, on both sides of the ball. But as we know now, 6 weeks into this, Buffalo's defense is for real, and they can be a real problem for anybody. But, yes, Chicago did make it a game. They scored 3 touchdowns in the second half, in the third quarter, I think. But they fell short. So Brock Osweiler can look like a star quarterback, and nobody would ever say that in a sentence. Brock Osweiler, a star quarterback, ever.
Yeah.
After what we've watched over the last couple seasons. So, yes, that can happen if you are not ready and prepared.
Brian, good stuff as always, man. Thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, my pleasure, Adam.